Good morning. I must note that it feels a little odd to be stood here. The old trope that we all turn into our mothers sooner or later has some truth to it. My mum is an Anglican priest from North London, and growing up, I was at times uninterested and even resentful about having to listen to her sermons every Sunday. She would be sat here feeling pretty smug and with a wry smile on her face if she was here today. We've just heard in the gospel that eternal question, who do you say that I am? It's been an invitation and a dilemma down through the ages to decide who Jesus really is. According to Mark in today's gospel, it was a dilemma for the disciples as well. The gossip in the streets varied. Some called Jesus a prophet. Some said he was Elijah come back from the dead. Some a magical healer. No wonder the disciples were confused. Jesus looks at Peter in the eye and asks him, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter didn't hesitate to reply. He hardly drew a breath. "You're the Messiah." And Jesus tells him, "Keep silent. Tell nobody." Who do you say that I am? Peter had hardly begun to answer before Jesus began to say how the Messiah must suffer and that those who truly want to follow him must take up the cross. What exactly does it mean to take up the cross? In Jesus' time, the cross meant one thing: execution by the empire for the crime of denial of imperial authority. That means upsetting the status quo. That means challenging the structures of an empire that are designed to work for certain people and exclude others. That means working for a city, for a world that is more in balance. I think we all have this feeling that things are out of balance right now. We feel it in our gut. We choked on wildfire smoke this summer. We hear heartbroken grandparents explaining that their grandkids have had to move away because it is too expensive for them to live here. We hear about companies not paying their fair share in taxes. We hear of children coming to school hungry. In a society which is becoming increasingly individualized and disconnected, it is easy to think that we are solely responsible for our lot in life, and that others are too. That we somehow deserve all of the cards that we have been dealt. Sometimes I can't afford to pay rent and put gas in my car. My grandparents remind me that when they were my age, they were married and had bought their first house. It is really easy for me to feel like this is my problem, that I must be wrong, that if I just worked a little bit harder, life would feel more secure. Because it is easy to forget about the bigger structures of this 21st century empire. Structures like property speculation, that views land as a place to park money rather than to build a nurturing home, or austerity that has left schools broken and seniors' homes understaffed. Who do you say that I am? Who do we say that we are as a congregation? St. John's is already doing so much, sponsoring refugee families, running an incredible food bank, You see hungry people and you respond with love and hospitality. You feed them. But what if we can channel that love towards creating a new system that sustains people enough that they don't have to visit the food bank? What if that love could also chisel away at the structures that are maintaining the imbalance? What if that love could bring about a city where food banks need no longer exist? We can't chip away at these structures alone. We need institutions to work with us. What if, through GVAT, we can work with Congregation Emmanuel Synagogue and the Hospital Employees Union and the Sierra Club of BC to win a living wage, or hold property developers to account to build affordable rental housing? Next time you have that feeling in your gut that things are out of balance, next time you walk past someone begging on a street corner, stop and think about how society might have failed them, about the invisible structures that make life such a struggle for them. Before we can change the system, it's important to listen to the stories. Many of you are engaging in listening campaigns at the moment. Imagine running one in the food bank. What if that same kind of deep listening, of relationship building, of story sharing happened there too, or even out in the sidewalk with passers-by? It is poignant, I think, that it is Peter who answered the question that Jesus posed. When Jesus first met Peter, Jesus told him to stop being a fisherman and come and be a disciple. What if St. John's could offer that opportunity to anyone who crosses its threshold? What if it could be the vehicle through which food bank clients have the opportunity to meet face to face with the Minister of Poverty Reduction, or be involved in designing an affordable housing campaign? What if we can offer that incredible gift of allowing people to grow into a fuller sense of themselves, to feel and live the love of God more boldly, to truly be a disciple by working with them to be part of changing the system? Although it's held up as one of the great confessions of faith, in many ways, Peter's response was a superficial one. Jesus knew it. That's why he told Peter to tell nobody. Peter had the words, but not, at that moment at least, the courage and understanding to move from a surface response to true discipleship. He didn't understand that discipleship involved taking up the cross, involved challenging the status quo. Jesus turned to his followers, and he turns to us today. Who do you say that I am? Let us pray that the lives we live might be worthy of the answer we give.